Welcome to the Ideal Investor Show. This is the podcast where we help you challenge your mindset and discover where you are. Tired of stories about other people's success? We can help you change your life, determine your time freedom point, and join us on the journey to financial success. Let's go. Hey, welcome back to the show. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about something that I'd mentioned quite a while ago, and I stumbled on a post, or I don't remember, was it a post or was it an interview or something? At least they were discussing people who have really important roles in companies and the question if they are really replaceable. And it reminded me of something that I had spoken about before that I wanted to share with you, and that is the difference between a job and a practice, right? Where you have your business as a practice. Think like dentist or something like that. Or in my case, you can think of a mentor who helps people invest in residential real estate so that you can build generational wealth and reach the time freedom point. And oh, by the way, if you want to talk about that with me and see if I can help you and if we are a good match and if your goals align, then please go to idealinvestorshow.com and find the button that says book a call and let's have a conversation and see if what we do is the right thing for you to do and get help and do it faster than you probably can do it on your own. So back to the point about job versus practice. So in my life, I've had a couple of different jobs. I've worked for the government. I've worked for a software company. And then I actually started my own business. And that first business, that consulting company that, by the way, still exists, was always there to be a contractor to large organizations and help them with their projects and their change efforts. So I've done a whole bunch of different variations of how you can have a job, including working for like one of the largest consulting companies called Accenture with like 700,000 people employed. So what is interesting is even all the way up to the CEO of a company, and you have probably seen this a whole bunch of times over the last few years, that when something goes wrong, it is not that the CEO is irreplaceable or any of the managers or directors or so forth is irreplaceable. People, either their jobs get completely eliminated or they leave on their own or they get fired and somebody else gets hired. And I want to challenge you for a moment to think about any one of those situations where you have worked in a company and it wasn't you, it was somebody else in some role in the company, but you knew the person. And then think back 2, 3, 4, 5 months after that person left or was fired, especially if that person got replaced by someone else. I would say in my experience, there has not been one case where it really felt that the person was irreplaceable. Now, that doesn't mean that an individual doesn't have a particular individual contribution and they do things a certain way and they speak about things a certain way and they conduct meetings and presentations a certain way. All that is true. But irreplaceable is really not the case. And I honestly have to tell you, when I started thinking about that, it's a little sad because I think when you're really passionate about the job that you do, or if you're really passionate about the mission and vision that the company is pursuing and you're part of it, to think, well, they could just any day replace me with somebody else and a few months after that, nobody will even remember that I was there and did something, that's a little sad. Now, I want to actually not really dwell on that too much, but I wanted to point out the difference when you have a practice, right? Because sometimes people say, well, I can go on my own and have a company. And there's a distinct difference between a company and a practice. So if you have a company, the goal of the company is that you want to accomplish something. Either you provide a service or you provide a product or maybe both. But the idea for the founder should be and normally is to say, okay, I want to grow this business to a level where we have lots and lots of clients and lots of suppliers and lots of employees and maybe even shareholders. But the goal of the founder is typically not to be there forever, but to build the business to a point where you have all the different departments and everything covered by very experienced and well-working, intelligent people, so you can step back. And the business will still continue to run. And in some cases, I have gotten to meet a couple of people through our podcast who actually finished basically building a business to that point, and they were then basically called the honorary president or something like that. And then they started another business with the same idea. Now, compare that to a practice. And I mentioned earlier my business, Idea Wealth Grower, as your mentor, or think about a dentist or somebody who has a practice like that. When a person like that leaves or doesn't want to do the work anymore, the practice typically dies. Right. And so that is something that is important to know. So there are basically these two things where I would say, in a way, depending on how high you got, you might either be completely forgotten, or you may have a little bit of a shimmer of a legacy, right? Like some people, I would say, in a good example would be Steve Jobs and Apple. He's not running the business. He sadly died and so forth, but people still contribute some of the benefits and accomplishments that Apple was able to make because of him. And I'm sure this will happen in 20 or 30 years when Elon Musk dies, that Tesla and SpaceX and Neuralink and so forth, his name will still be associated with it. But go just one or two levels down in these organizations. And Tesla, for example, is a 150,000 employee organization. Almost nobody will remember anybody other than the founders or the biggest names and most public names of these companies. And on my level, or the level of anybody who is like a dentist or a chiropractor or like a physician or something like that, when you have a practice like that and it closes, then, or you decide to close just because you don't want to do the work anymore, then the business dies. Now, the question then becomes, what is a good reason to close the practice? And in my opinion, a good reason to close the practice is if you use the income and profits that you generated in that practice to build generational wealth, and ideally in residential real estate. Because even though your heirs will most likely not want to run the practice, like I don't see that my daughter ever wanted to become a mentor in real estate investing. But the business allowed us to generate income through value assets like residential real estate. And that income will be supporting me and my wife as long as we are around. And then my daughter and her son and her husband, and then our grandson probably for the next generation. So that's the idea. Take your job or take your practice and build it in such a way that you have some generational wealth and legacy from the investments you made, and not necessarily from the job. Because whether you had a job or you had a practice, at some point you will decide to stop the job and retire, or you will decide to stop the practice and retire. And then pretty soon after, it will be gone and most likely also forgotten. And even though that sounds a little sad, the motivation should be to say, let's take it as an opportunity to generate and develop generational wealth. That's really the goal. Yes. My goal is also to help people to invest in my practice as a mentor for residential real estate investing. And if you're a dentist, I'm sure your goal is to help as many people as possible have as wonderful teeth, right? So those are obviously business goals or practice goals. But when you're not around anymore, what really remains is what you did with the money that they generated. And that's what I want you to think about. Besides really asking yourself, are you doing the right thing? Are you really using what the job that you're doing is generating for long-term generational wealth development? And if you want to know how to do that, please go to idealinvestorshow.com and book the call, and let's have a conversation, because I can at least show you the way that I have done it, and you can replicate that with my help. Or we can talk about what are other ways that you might be more interested in, and I can refer you to people who can help you with that. The worst is if you do nothing, or if you don't get any help and you try and make all the mistakes that others have already made for you and you have to make them again. So I hope you come on board building generational wealth sooner rather than later, because the sooner you start, the sooner you can also retire. That's it for today. Be well, stay safe, and I talk to you tomorrow.